Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with Detroit-born, Boston-based, award-winning musician, performance poet, and producer, Tim Hall. He has a new EP called Trust the Process coming out February 9th, 2022. His poetry draws inspiration from his live experiences, charting the nuances of blackness, masculinity, and the beauty of life. His music is used to underscore his vivid storytelling with warm neo-soul, jazz, and hip-hop influences. It's a great story. Dig it.
Hey, Mr. Hall, Joe Domino, Neon Jazz Radio in Kansas City, Missouri.
How's it going?
What's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for the call. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Hey, thanks for reaching out. I always love when new cats I haven't had on my radar get a hold of me and I can get you on the show. I love it.
Oh, that's amazing. Yes, thank you so much for the follow-up. It's exciting. It's a bit nerve-wracking as it's kind of like my first at it with a lot of my own kind of, you know, promotion and telling folks, and, you know, the beyond just making the music, it's about also letting people know about it, too.
Yeah,
it's been a journey, for sure.
Yeah, it's wild, man. You just got to dive right in, and it's funny how all this
exactly.
works. You don't know what's
exactly.
possible, so I'm glad you searched, I'm glad you took a chance, and I'm glad we have a chance to talk, so thanks for taking a minute out.
Awesome, yes.
You know, I guess with that being said, with COVID and everything that's going on, as kind of our backdrop, your new album, which is coming out on February 9th, Trust the Process, which I guess encapsulates your idea of hitting this new venture in your life. Talk to me a little bit about the relief of being able to get this out and to kind of do this album and the holistic part of this for you.
So this journey actually started from a book of poems that I wrote back in 2016, and that book is titled Trust the Process as well. I was taking a class. I work at Berklee College of Music, but I was taking a poetry writing class because we had access to classes and whatnot. And my professor, Caroline Harvey, she saw that I was just having a bad day one day, and she placed this rock on my desk, and it had Trust the Process painted on it. And that just kind of, it was a bit of a catalyst for me in that I took this class as a challenge for me as a spoken word artist and performance poet to write something, to more so engage with my poetry on the page rather than just in the performance. And this book then turned into a really great reminder of, like, you know, sometimes you just have to do, you have to trust yourself. There's something that telling you to do something, and you got to trust that voice and follow it. You know, you got to scratch the itch. That led into me, you know, producing that book. And also at that time, I released my first EP, Colors of My Soul, which is a spoken word album of my spoken word and my original compositions and beats. Since then, I started to really own my journey as an artist and as an individual. I'm wanting to make a career out of my art. And I think I've seen my growth just kind of flourish and blossom, because that was a part of me in a time where a lot of folks actually knew that I played saxophone, but not a lot of knew about my spoken word and me being able to perform and share my story in a different way, you know, other than through my saxophone. And now, years later, I've, you know, struggled sometimes with the idea of, like, putting out my own things. I heavily am involved in my local Boston scene as a session musician and playing on different records and performing with different artists, that this was an opportunity for me to release something new that was from me, that was expressing kind of a new step in my journey. And it was also kind of timing, because I recorded this project live in 2019, and 2020 comes around, and we get a pandemic.
Yeah.
In the top of 2020, I actually left a full-time role at Berklee to transition to teach part-time so that I could focus more on my art. I had some of the biggest gigs lined up for me during 2020, and many, many, many folks also did as well. And this project ended up being something I was like, oh, well, this presents itself as an opportunity for me to start to work on releasing it, being that I wasn't comfortable getting to a studio, wasn't comfortable performing. And, you know, over time, I've been able to work on, you know, getting it polished and ready to present. And I released my first single on the record in May of last year. And, you know, of course, COVID and more things happened to where it kind of pushed back the release until I was in a position to really to get it out here. And now we're here, and now we're at the release coming up soon on February.
Right on. Well, you're originally from Detroit, so talk to me a little bit about kind of your roots and how you got involved with music and some influence mm-hmm. kind of your early life.
Thankfully, grew up in a household that loves music. For me, my father is a huge music lover. My grandfather, my mother, like everybody was involved in the arts in some way, shape, or form. So that married with living in Motown, living in a black city, growing up as a black kid, and being exposed to music that connected to me on a cultural level that also represented so many things in my life. I just grew up around it, and it was extremely nurtured growing up. I started playing. I was playing in bars and gigs and festivals by 17, 18. Heavily started to learn how to play jazz, R&B, gospel, and so forth in the church. But I grew up classically trained, the typical concert band experience and whatnot, and doing all of the symphonic, you know, symphony music and whatnot. But the church was where I really got to understand music in a different way performatively, got to learn how to improvise, got to understand and learn how to listen and be connected with musicians and learn how to hold an audience through performance. Was where I really developed a lot of that in the church, as well as my voice. And because of that, some of the artists that inspired me were like Kirk Whalum. I was a huge, you know, jazz and gospel artist that I grew up listening to a ton of. But then my father also had me listening to a lot of Blue Note jazz, a lot of Miles and Coltrane and so forth, and a lot of smooth jazz. He listened to a lot of smooth jazz, Al Jarreau and Dave Koz and so forth. So I grew up with that. And on top of that, I also had exposure to just like my upbringing. So I did like marching band and all of the different jazz bands and symphony bands in high school. I went to high school that had an arts program. So I was just very nurtured at a young age within the arts. And the other beautiful thing about the city of Detroit and the musician space is that there's a lot of mentors, there's a lot of older guys and that would like take younger cats under their wing. So I would, you know, I would be able to sneak into the bar with, a saxophonist that was kind of like a big bro to me and, you know, just kind of sit and observe and listen, or we get invited to sessions, to sheds and just kind of be around it, be connected to it and have these individuals who are older who encourage us and eventually either bring us onto a gig or like book us onto a festival or something like that. And music stayed with me throughout the different transitions in my life. I bounced around the Midwest, went to undergrad at Bowling Green State University. It was in our gospel choir there, and we were a touring gospel choir. And then actually moved to Minneapolis after that. So I lived in Minneapolis for, you know, a summer with gigging, you know, there while I was finishing up an internship, and jumped from there to Iowa City and got my first job out of school. But Iowa City had its own extremely vibrant music scene, and just kind of threw myself into that scene, started a band, and, you know, became big fish in a little pond kind of growth there, and just got to learn and engage with music in different ways there. Was a part of, you know, churches along this journey as well, and playing in different churches. And I went to graduate school to get a master's in education at Iowa State. And during that time, I'm like full-time school. I'm in three bands. I was kind of like doing as much music playing as I can, and as well as a part of a poetry collective and doing a lot of performances and producing shows and so forth. And a professor of mine connected, or had a friend who worked at Berkeley, and saw how much I was involved and cared about the arts and how much it was like important to me, and suggested that I go and work there. And I never really thought of it as an option. I always knew about Berkeley in high school and, you know, auditioning and so forth, but I never connected the dots that this could also be a place where I can be an educator and also show up as an active musician and a professional musician and it be valued and cared about, often because I found like I struggled in other spaces because of how involved I was in music and my workplace didn't really understand it. And being here is kind of welcomed, and if anything, I've been able to navigate and grow here because of it. I definitely have had like a strong upbringing with the arts and with music and performing, and it's something that's carried me throughout my journey and has been kind of like been my life partner, and helped me feel like I found my place in different areas. As long as I find an art community of folks, then I feel like I can like figure it out. Oh yeah.
So what do you like the best about waking up each day and facing a creative canvas, so to speak? What do you like the best about being a professional musician?
I feel like I'm living what was always meant for me. I feel like my creativeness and my ability to be a musician and so forth is a gift. It's something that I feel like because was so heavily nurtured at a young age, and it was valued also at a young age, that it feels like I'm stepping into myself and I get to live into who I am authentically every day. And I feel like the freedom of that is something that I'm still processing because I can't believe it. Like I'm very, very thankful that I truly get to do what I love. And, you know, there's all the cliches that you know, that are out there about it, but I like truly get to wake up saying like, I actually am excited to get up and do what I get to do. And sometimes that freedom is I get to choose my schedule. I get to choose the gigs that I'm on. I get to choose the people that I get to collaborate with. I get to choose the project that I'm asked to be on. And there is a struggle there still, you know, we still got to eat, pay bills, grow. I just got married last year in October and life is still happening and I'm still learning how to make the most of it. But I definitely remember when I was in certain positions and working in certain places where I enjoyed what I did. I was good at what I did, but I wasn't being as fulfilled at doing that as I am now. And I still get to do some of those things. I still get to educate. I still get to mentor. I still get to offer and bring my life experiences to young people and help them make sense of their own. But I'm also living the things that I want for myself and like starting to activate and actualize some of those things. So it feels really good to be able to like be excited about what I get to do every day.
Yeah, it almost seems like with this venture and where you're at in life, you're almost a veteran as you start out with this. Is that the way it feels for you?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that, I mean, I'm 35. I just turned 35 in January. And yeah, I've been, like I said, I started my first paid pro gig was 17, 18, and been a part of many bands. I've played with a list, a nice list of artists, and I've found myself, you know, as a horn player, there was like moments where I've just kind of felt like, oh, I'm just kind of auxiliary. Like I'm just here in the horn section. I'm not, you know, front stage or, you know, I'm one of those instruments for certain artists that like, oh, they can still go on tour and not necessarily need a horn player. So not to say or down or decrease what I do or what, you know, the importance of, I think, horns and a horn section to a group. But there is still the realities of like, that still that artist sense. Like I'm still the contracted, you know, individual helping and supporting that. This is my time to focus on what I have to say. And I feel like I'm now in a position where I feel confident in that. I also feel like I'm knowledge enough and have enough wisdom and skill set to be able to hold my own and know that there's so much more to go. There's so much more to learn. Like this is, for me, I feel like I'm I'm beginning, and it's kind of refreshing that, like, I've been in the game for this long and that I'm feeling this newness still and this excitement to, like, learn more and to gain more experience and get better, like, to authentically want to get better in this way. And it feels good, for sure.
So, you know, this COVID time has been a big period of self-reflection. We've all had a look within. What have you learned about yourself over this time since March of 2020 that maybe you didn't realize before that's going to make you stronger as you get out and promote this new venture and start playing more live gigs?
I learned that I have a point of view and I have something to say. I learned to trust my ideas and trust my ear and what I feel like sounds good. I think that it's sometimes easy to get into comparison where I have all of the list of musicians that I'm like, oh, wow, they sound great and they're amazing. I really want, you know, this tech developing, get better like that and be able to do those things. And I've had to, I think, throughout COVID, had to silence some of those thoughts and voices or at least filter them differently so that I'm not necessarily comparing myself, but I'm admiring and using those individuals as inspiration and knowing that I do also have to now, I have to like put in some of the work to get better. Like, it's not just going to be about listening to the different artists and like listening to interviews and listening to records and studying, you know, how people are playing. It also is like getting back to the basics and jumping back into my own practice routines and really studying the things that I've created and starting to elevate those things. The other thing that I've learned has been to ask for help. For my birthday, these last two birthdays, actually, I orchestrated a all-day birthday recording session where I invited friends for the day and said, like, yo, want to invite, you know, certain folks and just come into the studio and we're going to hang out. If you want to add some stuff to, you know, a record, then great. If you don't, you just want to be in the room and be in the environment to hang, then we can do that. And those environments have made me realize, like, in order for me to grow, I also have to release the things that I've made so that I add those voices to it to bring it to life and for it to go somewhere beyond where I think it can go. And I think that that also relates to my own journey and even me, you know, reaching out to different outlets to say like, hey, I made something I think it's really cool. And I feel like, you know, you'd vibe with it and I want more people to hear it. So I think I've learned to ask for the help and to like release the things that I've made so far because they're good and they get better and better when I bring more voices into the picture that I trust. And to like continue to go down that journey to see where the music might blossom.
Speaking of journey, you know, everyone has a perception or an idea of you, your family, your fans, your students, but you ultimately live your life. You have a perception of you. Who do you think you are?
I'm quite frankly, I think I'm pretty badass. Like I'm pretty cool.
All right.
Musician, I learned to also just like, realize like I have this unique voice and space. I care deeply about resilience building, and I talk about that in my work, and I realize that because what I have to say ends up being so meaningful and impactful to me, but I know it's going to be meaningful and impactful to other folks. Like, I know that I'm not the only one that has similar thoughts and feelings and experiences, and I'm, like, really, really excited that I get to share that and like, uplift this message. And I have a unique place within music as well in the sense of fusing spoken word and storytelling with neo-soul, R&B, jazz, and hip-hop. I feel like there's some gaps in the industry that other artists that have like similar intersections are starting to really grow and amplify. And I'm like, I feel like I get to contribute to that growth and the elevation of what I get to do and get to even utilize this journey as an experiment to say like, yeah, I'm getting to experiment with spoken word language and music and what kind of like better story to tell and journey to be on.
Beautiful, man. Tim, thank you for taking a minute out for Neon Jazz. Thanks for reaching out.
Thank you so much, Joe. Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest cats in Detroit, Boston, Kansas City, and spots all over the world, giving fans all that jazz. And thanks to Tim for his time, music, and cool. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino in the iTunes Store. Visit NeonJazz at YouTube.com, and for everything Neon Jazz all the time, go to the NeonJazz.blogspot.com. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.